The state of Michigan files briefs next week defending what could be a landmark ruling by the federal district court. The judge ruled that Medicaid recipients and the federal government cannot go to federal court to force states to provide medical benefits guaranteed by federal law in exchange for billions of dollars given by the federal government to the states for the Medicaid program. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Medicaid is a joint state and federal program first enacted in 1965 to provide medical care for certain poor people, particularly poor children. States do not have to participate in the program, but if they do, they must comply with the federal law's requirements for minimum medical services. That's the quid pro quo for receiving millions, even billions of dollars in federal money. Under the statute, the federal government, at minimum, matches the money put up by the state. States, however, have often failed to deliver the required benefits and have been hauled into court to force compliance. In Michigan, for example, where the federal government pays 56% of the tab, the state has been sued more than a half dozen times over the last three decades. The latest enforcement action came almost 2 years ago, when a group of mothers sued. They charged that the state had systematically failed to provide the early screening, diagnosis, and treatment services required for the 808,000 children enrolled in the state's Medicaid program. One of the mothers who sued is Zeta Tompkins, who's adopted four children and raised three more under foster care. One of her adoptees, Justin, arrived with severe learning and psychological problems.
Justin had a closed head injury because his biological mom threw him out the door and his head hit concrete.
But Justin, she said, had never been screened, even in his foster care home.
He never had any follow-up with a neurologist or anything, and I've never received any medical reports.
The child, she said, was suicidal, and to this day, at age 13, is learning disabled and unable to read. If he'd been seen by a doctor earlier, she believes, some of his problems could have been dealt with more effectively.
My whole purpose of this lawsuit is that other kids get serviced. We don't have to wait to the end. We can get them in the beginning.
Her case, along with others, was brought by Michigan Legal Services. It alleged that the state had systematically failed to provide a wide variety of services for its Medicaid children, that tens of thousands of eligible children were never tested for lead poisoning, given routine vision and hearing tests, and were not immunized against diseases from polio to measles. The state initially asked that the case be dismissed because it said it had reasonably complied with the federal requirements. But Judge Robert Cleland asked for briefs on a broader issue, whether the federal courts have any role at all in enforcement. And on his own, he invited one of the nation's leading states' rights lawyers, Jeffrey Sutton, to submit briefs. Sutton, at the judge's instructions and with the help of Michigan's Republican Governor John Engler, found a client, the Michigan Municipal League. The lawyers for the Medicaid mothers then moved in court to find out whether the cities who belonged to the league had really authorized participation in the case. Lawyer Jennifer Clark.
We thought this was strange because if you think about it, what we were asking for was for the state to spend more money to help poor children get health care. And we know that if the state doesn't spend that money, it's the cities that are going to end up having to spend the money. So we couldn't figure out why the cities would be coming in against us.
Judge Cleland was infuriated by the legal aid lawyer's subpoena, seeking evidence of authorization. He not only quashed the subpoena, he in essence fined the legal aid lawyers some $6,000. In legal circles, the sanction was considered quite astonishing. Sarah Rosenbaum is a professor of law at George Washington University School of Public Health.
In my life, I have never heard of anything this extraordinary. This is unheard of.
But if the judge's sanction order was unusual, his ruling in the case was groundbreaking, and it's already being cited by other states in other litigation. The judge began by acknowledging that under the U.S. Constitution, federal statutes are the supreme law of the land. But, he said, when Congress enacts laws under its spending powers, those laws are not supreme over state law. In this case, he said, the Medicaid program is in essence a contract between two equal sovereign governments, state and federal. And the fact that the state accepted federal money does not mean it has waived its immunity to lawsuit. Nor do the beneficiaries of the program, the Medicaid recipients, or the doctors or hospitals providing services, have any right to seek enforcement in the federal courts.
We think the judge is just wrong.
Lawyer Jennifer Clark represents the Medicaid mothers.
Just look at the Constitution. It says that all the laws of the United States are supreme. It doesn't say some of the laws.
Siding with the Medicaid mothers is the Bush administration. No slouch when it comes to states' rights, but this time, saying that Judge Cleland's decision is in direct conflict with a long line of Supreme Court decisions. The state, however, has now adopted Judge Cleland's reasoning and is defending it on appeal. Carol Isaacs is Michigan's Director of Policy and Legal Affairs.
We do think he's right. The state has not waived its immunity to suit.
She says Medicaid recipients have administrative recourse if they think they're not getting services.
You can, in fact, call an 800 line. We'll work through issues with you. You could ask for a fair hearing. We have a few thousand of those annually for the people that we have here in Michigan.
But, she says, the state now agrees with Judge Cleland that the only enforcement mechanism available to the federal government is to cut off all Medicaid funds to the state. That is a step that lawyers for a Medicaid mom say would accomplish nothing for their clients.
Because if the funding's cut off, you're surely not going to get it. So really what it means is that people who have rights under federal law can't enforce them.
If Judge Cleland's decision is ultimately sustained, say advocates for the poor, the practical effect will be the end of Medicaid as a source of guaranteed health benefits. And dozens of organizations, from Catholic Charities to the American Academy of Pediatrics, have weighed in to warn of dire consequences for the nation's health care system. If the Cleland decision is ultimately upheld, it will likely also mean an end to enforcement mechanisms for all manner of other federal spending programs. To cite just a couple of examples, there would be no enforcement mechanism for people claiming that a school getting federal money is not abiding by civil rights laws or not abiding by the federal law guaranteeing equal religious access. The appeal of Judge Cleland's decision comes at a time when the Supreme Court seems to be engaged in something of a states' rights revolution, ruling that states cannot be sued for money damages when they violate the federal law. Many of those high court decisions have come in cases argued by Jeffrey Sutton, the lawyer recruited by Judge Cleland to argue the states' rights position in this case. But even in Sutton's high court victories, the justices have acknowledged nearly a century of Supreme Court decisions allowing lawsuits against state officials to force compliance with the federal law. Since his participation in the Michigan case, lawyer Sutton has been nominated to a federal appeals court judgeship by President Bush. He declined to comment for this broadcast, as did Judge Cleland. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.